Anyway, let's get started. So it is 7:30 on Thursday evening. So let's talk about some of the shilas that came up this week. So two shilas in particular that we will talk about, or we'll talk about one of them as usual. So one shilah, a fellow came over to me in shul last week, and he told me that his parents are in Eretz Yisrael, and while they were there, they were visited by cousins of theirs who are not religious, or how does Rabbi Teller say, not yet religious, or something like that, Rabbi Kron, what they also say, who are not yet from, not yet Shomer Torah mitzvahs. And these relatives, they have some fields with all sorts of vegetables growing in it or whatever, but they also have in their yard a mango tree. And they brought this, their religious relatives, when they went to visit them in Yerushalayim, they brought them a box of fresh mangoes straight from their mango tree. And the religious relatives said, thank you so very much. And then they, the non-religious relatives went home. And then the religious relatives called their son, who's a rabbi, and said, what do I do with these fruits? What's the shaila? What do you mean? Shemitah. Eat them. What do I? Shemitah. So what? So Shemitah. So what do you do with Shemitah fruits? You eat them. Oh, is that what you do with Shemitah fruits? So, Svichin. Okay, so that's one issue. What else? Shum's maestros, maybe. Shemitah is a question, but they're probably not.
That's Shomer.
These are not religious people, so the Shomer, we have the Shemitah expert here. So it was guarded during Shemitah, possibly. He doesn't know if they guarded it during Shemitah. It may have been worked during Shemitah. I don't know if they were, nurturing the tree during Shemitah, so we don't know. So does that Aser the fruits? And in general, these are Americans. They don't know how to handle holy fruits, Shemitah produce. So if it has Kedusha Shvi'is, what do you do with that? So that is Shaila number one. It happens to be an excellent topic, La Halacha, but that's Shaila number two is a more interesting story, I guess, although, not as much of a topic, La Halacha, it's just a more interesting story. So Shaila number two, I have a very close friend who used to be my roommate, actually, in Yeshiva. Was he my roommate? No, he wasn't my roommate, but he next door. He lived next door when we were in Karen Biavno together, and down the hall from me in NYU in what's that building? The morgue, right? The fifth floor of the morgue. And any fifth floor people here? Yeah. Oh, okay. What room?
518.
Oh, one off. I was 519. Okay. So I think. I don't really remember. He's a businessman, but he's also a rabbi, kind of. He's very involved in chinuch and other things, and he's very excited about Yiddishkeit and a real Yirei Shemayim. And but he's not like a practicing rabbi, and he has a non-religious cousin. Wow, both titles of our non-religious cousins. He has a not yet religious cousin. Is that condescending to call them not yet religious? Like, would you say it to their face? You're my not yet religious cousin. That's probably a little condescending. Right? Okay, so anyway, he has this cousin who's getting married, and his cousin said the only Orthodox person we would want to be Masader Kiddushin for us is you. Otherwise, we'll just go to a conservative rabbi and do it that way. So he had no choice but to be Masader Kiddushin for them, and he was very, very nervous about it. Like, he was not sure how this was going to go, what was going to happen. So he did a ton of homework. He called me several times over the summer in advance of this wedding. He negotiated every detail with them about a single ring ceremony, not a double ring ceremony. All the he really, really worked very hard at negotiating everything about this ceremony, and he thought he had crossed all the T's, dotted all the I's. He thought he had figured it all out. So at the wedding, he got there, they said, you're walking down, the aisle, because you're the rabbi. The rabbi's got to walk down the aisle. He's like, okay. So he walked down the aisle. He showed me a video of it. He was waving, blowing kisses, the whole thing, right? Great. Then he says, right after he walked down the aisle, he turns behind him, and the one to walk down after him down the aisle was a dog. A dog was with a bow tie and everything. Walking down the aisle behind him, and he's like, that's weird. If this thing is like, I have to kick it off my leg, the whole chuba, I will not be happy about that. But somehow the dog behaved himself, and was like, so okay, all's good. So then the chuba goes, and there were some bumps in the road in the chuba also. Maybe we could talk about that. Last week we spoke about a wedding related issue, right? Oh, about the guy who forgot the ring. Yeah, so this one they had a shtickle meisa with the ring also, because he told her to stick out your right forefinger, and she did, and the guy, Harei HaMikdash, the B'tavar HaZugadas Moshe V'Sol, he stuck it out her finger, and she said, "Yay, I'm married!" And the ring was flying. So that was, of course, they had to do the Kiddushin again. So the chuppah went, and you know they found the ring. Where they found the ring after it went flying, we're not going to talk about now either. That was also a Maisa. But whatever it was, they found, let's just say she wasn't dressed in Yistik. So they found the ring. They did the whole wedding. They go to the yichud room. Okay, so they go to the yichud room, and they're about to go into the yichud room, and the chassan and kala say, "Well, Sparky's got to come with us into the yichud room." I made up the dog's name. I don't know what the dog's name is. Actually, it's Lassie. I don't know. So, Sparky, Clifford, I don't know, has to come with us into the yichud room. So he's like, "What do you mean?" They're like, he's our baby. We're not going to leave him outside of the yichud room. He's got to come with us in the yichud room. So, first of all, he's like, "Why would you want to bring your baby into the yichud room?" So they were insistent. So he wasn't sure at that moment whether you're allowed to have a dog in the yichud room. So that's a long way of saying that shaila. Is there any issue with having a dog in the yichud room? Okay. So shaila number one is shmita mangoes, and what do you do with these shmita mangoes from these not orthodox relatives? And shaila number two is the Masada Kiddushin for the relatives who are also not Orthodox. In fact, they've been living together for 8 years before the wedding, and they want to have their dog in the yichud. So those are our two shalos for the week. All those who want to learn about some of the exciting halachos of Shemitah and Shemitah mangoes, show of hands. Okay, and voting is underway. All those who want to talk about dogs in the yichud room. Really, do you really want to talk about dogs in the yichud? Like, what's going to be more relevant to you in your lifetime? Okay, let me just put this on Do Not Disturb. Okay, so let's see what the vote was online. Online, we only have 3 votes, and 2 of them were for Shiloh number 1. So which one do we do?
Rebbe's a tie right there.
It wasn't a tie. Okay.
Zoom won over here, so maybe Zoom versus
the. It's a Zoom, really. Yeah, I hear. But normally we get we normally favor the people in person. So let's take that vote again, just to make sure so I count it correctly this time. All those who want Shiloh number 1, Shemitah, exciting Shemitah stuff. All those who want to talk about dogs in the yichud room. All right. Roshachta used to do that every week when on Thursdays it was either going to be Parsha Shir or another day of Gemara Shir. So every Wednesday he would say, all those who want to do a Parsha like we have every single year, the same Parsha that you read every single year, and want to do that. And all those who want to do exciting Bava Metzia, where you have, you know, like that, that's where you. And still, like, Bava Metzia lost every single time. So dog in the yichud room. So what's the issue? Why wouldn't you be able to have a dog in the yichud room? What would be the problem with a dog in the yichud room? Why would you be allowed to have a dog in it? Meaning, what's. Is there any halacha over here? Is there anything to look at over here? Meaning, if you wanted to destroy Yichud, right? Meaning, if you wanted to ruin Yichud, you would throw a child in the room who's at least old enough to be able to notice if something funny was happening, right? So would a dog qualify as someone that would ruin the Yichud? Now, typically, how old of a child would you need to put into a room to make sure that there's no Yichud? So it would have to be someone who's old enough that you would be embarrassed to do anything in front of him because he'll report what he saw. I mean, he'll say, "I just saw the craziest thing," you know, like, and he'll report that which he saw. So that's generally the age that we would look for. A dog doesn't talk, right? Meaning, so it's not going to, the dog's not going to say anything. Plus, they've been living together for 8 years with this dog, and they don't go anywhere without it. Mistama, whatever the dog's about to see, he's seen many, many times before, so he would be like, oh, them again, you know, like he's not gonna, he's probably not gonna react in a very strong way. Yeah? Oh, so this is a question, right? So I think that the if there is a sugi here, it's yichal aroi lebiya, meaning the halacha is that in order for, well, we'll see. The halacha might be that in order for yichud to be valid, you need a yichud where theoretically you could have biya in that yichud. And then, if that's true that you need yichal aroi lebiya, we then need to discuss: is there something not okay about having biya in front of a dog? And would that turn it into yichud she'en aroi lebiya? So those are the two sugyas really, right? Meaning, do you need yichud aroi lebiya in order for the yichud to be valid? And does having a dog take away, having a bal chaya, an animal in the room, take away the yichud aroi lebiya?
I'm more like general question based on that logic. If let's say you have bugs in your apartment, would that qualify?
So right. Meaning, if you're not, is there a difference between a dog and a fly? Right, there may be flies in your apartment. Let's say you live here in the beautiful Heights, and you know, so there's always something, right? There's cockroaches, right? You know, someone told me recently their wife saw a cockroach, and she went online, and she goes, "What do you do when you see a cockroach?" And they said, "You do not have one cockroach; you have many. Run!" And she immediately ran to her parents. So that's a thing. So if you can't have beer in front of a dog, maybe you can't have beer in front of a cockroach or a fly or a gnat or a mosquito either. They're all living things. So okay, so let's talk about all of these issues. So let's start with the yichud aroi lebiya. Whether you need yichud aroi lebiya or you just need a place that's a makom tsnua is actually two days from Shulchan Aruch and Ebene Ezer. Shulchan Aruch and Ebene Ezer Sim Samachalif, when talking about weddings, talking about how to have nisuin, kivan shehichnis ha'ish arusaso l'chupa, if you have erisin and then you bring your wife into the chuppah, that is nisuin. She is now your wife. V'gove ikur ksuba v'tosefes im tesalvin otiskarish. Now she's entitled. For those who are learning davyomi, we know that at nisuin she's entitled to the entirety of the ksuba, the whole tosefes ksuba, everything. That happens when you go into a chuppah. V'med varmamurim, says the Shulchan Aruch, kishru'i lebiya. But that's only if it's ra'u'i lebiya. Avalim haisa nida, but let's say the woman was a nida, so it's not ra'u'i, she's not ra'u'i lebiya, you can't have a yichad ra'u'i lebiya. V'achar kach konsa l'chupa v'nisyach inima eino ki'ishto. And then you brought it to the chuppah and you had yichud with her, that's, she's not, you're not married. El l'kol advarmu adayin karu, he adayin karusa. She's still in Arusa. Legabe ol halachos me'achshay sanida. That's the first day in Shulchan Aruch. Then says Shulchan Aruch v'yesh omrim the dafka linin shlo tikva tosefes yadayin karusa. Aval lekol shar dvar marei kinesua. She's not yet entitled to the tosefes ksuba, but legabe everything else, she's in the suha. That even without yichud aroi lebiya. So everyone seems to agree that as far as tosefes ksuba is concerned, she's not yet in the suha until you have yichud aroi lebiya. But as far as the other hilchos, erusin and nisuin, there are two opinions. The Rambam holds the nisuin is not complete until you have yichud aroi lebiya. The Rush holds, and that's expressed by that second day in Shulchan Aruch, just being machnas l'makom tzanua, that's good enough. You don't need yichud aroi lebiya. Okay, so now, the source for both of these deos is a gemara that we did not that long ago in Daf Yomi, again for those Daf Yomi people, Ksubas Tafnun Dalet. The Mishnah over there says, Afal pisha amru besula gov masayim v'almana mana, that even though a besula collects 200 zuz and an almana collects 100 zuz, so what's the ratio, what's the difference between a ksubas besula and a ksubas almana? So we typically think a ksubas besula is worth twice as much as a ksubas Almana. Rav Shechter often points out that many Rishonim assume that that's not true. It's not twice as much, because a Ksubas Pesula is Kesef Midar Raisa, which is Kesef Tzuri, whereas Ksubas Almana is Kesef Midar Aban. It's a different currency. It's a different monetary system. So the 100 Zuz that you give to an Almana is 100 Darabanan Zuz. The 200 zuz you give to a besula is 200 doraisa zuz. Kesef Tzuri is worth 8 times the amount of Kesef Medina. So it turns out that a ksubas besula is worth 16 times the amount of Ksubas Alman. Not everyone agrees to that, but that is a shita certainly of some Rishonim. Rav Shach, I think, thinks that that's the mainstream shita, that that's the normal understanding, right? That's why the Rishonim discuss, there's a big machlokas Tanayim, machlokas Amorayim, machlokas Rishonim, is Ksuba Daraisa or is Ksuba Darabanan, right? And yet, you just look in any Ksuba, any Ashkenazi Ksuba at least, and it says that this is Kesef Suzi Masan Dechazi Lichi. Next word, anyone know? Midoraisa, the Chazilichim Midoraisa. So half of Rishonim asked, how could you write that? We don't know. We don't know that it's Doraisa. We might paskin the Ksuba is Darabanan. How could you write Midoraisa? So some of the Rishonim answer, the Rosh quotes that, no, when we say Midoraisa, we don't mean that Ksuba is Doraisa. We mean the type of money we're describing is Doraisa money. Sfardim don't like that answer, and therefore Sfardim take out the word Midoraisa from Ksuba. I was in Masada Kedushin recently at a Sephardic wedding for the first time. I have my second one coming up soon, God willing. So a little nerve-wracking, right? Because I'm not Sephardi, so I don't know exactly all. So I asked Rabbi Jachter, like, what do I do? You know, because Rabbi Jachter is, you know, the king of Ashkenazi rabbis who knows how to handle Sephardi things, right? So he said, I'm like, you know, the ksuba, a typical Sephardi ksuba will, like, get very detailed with exact dollar amounts and, you know, how many goats she's bringing into the marriage. And how, like, it gets very, very, very detailed. So I said, like, what do I do with the Sephardi ksuba? So Rabbi Jachter said, nah, just take an Ashkenazi ksuba, but take out the word midaraisa. Meaning, which was good, because the chassan said to me, my in-laws don't want anything weird at this chuppah, so don't say anything that sounds weird. So I'm like, well, you're Sephardi, what do you want me to do? So, but with that, we took out the word midaraisa, and I was able to tell the difference, and that's what we did. Okay, fine. So the Mishnah says that even though Basula is Gov Masayim and Almana's Mana, Imrotza the host of Afil Meir Bani Yosef, you want to add as much as you want, that's fine. Then if she becomes an almana or a grusha, min hanisuin, if she becomes an almana or a grusha after having had nisuin, goves hakol, she's entitled to the whole ksuba. But min erusin, then you only are entitled to the ikur ksuba, not the entire ksuba. So that's what the Mishnah says. Comes along the Gemara daf nun vava mid aleph, by Ravashi, nichnas alachupa upirsa nida mahu. Where did that chupa? And then she became a nida. Chuppa dechazi lebia, but chuppa dechazi lebia lo, odim lo shna. Do you need to have chuppa that's ro'i lebia, and if she's a nida, it's not ro'i lebia, or does it not make a difference? So the Gemara says, answer, teku. The Gemara leaves it as a teku. So the Rambam paskins in the 10th paragraph of Ecclesiastes, that shaila is not only a ksuba shaila. The shaila about, you know, yichud shein ro'i lebia is about all the halachos of nisuin, and the Gemara leaves it as a teku. And therefore, because the Gemara leaves it as a teku, we have to be machmir, and we have to assume that they're not married unless you have yichud ro'i lebia. The Rush disagrees with the Rambam, and the Rush writes, "Hamadaktik b'shmuzu yavin depshitalei dechupas nidavi chupa." That if you really know how to read a Gemara, the Rush says, you know that the Gemara is saying that it's pashut, that a chupas nida counts as a valid chupa. The question is, what about the ksuba? But that's the whole discussion. Then the Rambam writes, and therefore, since you can't have a valid chupa with a nida, because you can't have yichud roi lebia, and the definition of chupa is yichud, right? That's meaning that that's also a question. The Gemara talks about what the Mishnah, the first Mishnah Kiddushin, talks about what Kiddushin is, right? It's Kesef Shtar Tzvia. It never discusses what Nisuin is. It just always assumes, like, yeah, everyone knows what Nisuin is, but it doesn't say. So it doesn't say in the Gemara anywhere. It doesn't say in the Mishnah, it doesn't say in the Gemara. So we Rishonim have to have this debate of how we define Nisuin. So the Rishonim have this debate, and there are like four or five different shitos. There's even a shita that the Badekin is the Nisuin, that's why some are makbid to appoint Ede Badekin, even though the Badekin happens before the Erusin. That's probably why it's a good idea. You know, most of you are not married yet, it's a good idea when you do a Badekin, God willing, one day, to, you know, do it yourself, because a lot of times the chassan gets there and his mother and mother-in-law are helping him with the veil, because, like, how's he going to know how to do this motion all by himself? So it's probably a good idea to do it yourself, since that's, according to some Rishonim, how you're actually getting married. It would be strange if, like, your mom married your wife for you. You know, that would be, so, like, that's something you should be able to do on your own. So there are some shita. The Ram shita is that yichud is the definition of nisuin. That's why Rav Shechter often points out that as soon as the chuppah is over, they should run to the yichud room as quickly as possible. Just run, get out of there, go to the yichud room as quickly as possible, because all the brachos under the chuppah are the brachos of the nisuin. So you don't want to be mafsik between the bracha and the nisuin. So you get to the yichud room as fast as possible. None of Rav Shechter's talmidim actually normally do that, except for one. I was at a wedding recently, very close talmid of Rav Shechter, a very loyal talmid of Rav Shechter, and I saw as they were singing Imeshkachech, I saw that he started hugging his parents, like to say, "I'm out of here as soon as the song is over." And she was hugging her parents. I'm like, he's actually doing it. Like I think I was the first one to chop what he was doing. I'm like, he's actually doing it. And as soon as the Mishkachich was over, they were three quarters of the way down the aisle. The Chaverim didn't even, the friends didn't even have a chance to jump in front of them, try to dance them. There was no dancing. They were straight. They were in the Yichud room within 12 seconds of the end of that chuppah. It was amazing. So the Rambam writes, if you're not allowed to have Yichud Arei Labiyah, If you need Yichud Harei Labiyah to get married, and you can't do that with a Nida, lo tinase Nida acheti taher. You shouldn't marry a Nida until she goes to the mikvah. Meaning, if a woman becomes a Nida unexpectedly before the wedding, says the Rambam, send out an email that the wedding is cancelled, it's being postponed, on account of Nida, or you can make something else up. Say that someone died or something. No, that wouldn't be right. But you should say that the wedding is being postponed, and the wedding won't happen at the right time. Can you imagine if we pass it like that? So we don't pass it like that, right? Meaning we do a wedding with a chuppas nida. It's not so pleasant, but we do a wedding with a chuppas nida. It happens to be the Mechaber writes, kosher hadavar shelo tinase achi titoher, that the right thing to do is not to get married until she becomes tahora. But the Rama says ve'achshav minig shelo didaktik ve'in mamtinin. Our minig is we're not careful about that. We don't wait. We just do the wedding right away. So that's how we paskin that even though Yichud Arei Labiyah is ideal, but it's and l'chadchila, you certainly, for Ashkenazim, certainly we do Yichud at the wedding. Sfardim don't do Yichud at the wedding anyway. They only do it afterwards, because Sfardim hold that, Rav Vadi explains, that the basis of the minhag of Sfardim is that if they were to do Yichud at the wedding, then the woman would have to cover her hair, because that would be the Nisun, so she'd have to wear, what?
Meaning, wouldn't that mean that the Yichud room doesn't matter at all? It's not really the right yichud. The right yichud's at the end.
For Sfardim, they don't do yichud then. They just do it at the end. Uh-huh. That's why they skip yichud. It's a big question. A lot of Sfardim want to do yichud because they've been so Ashkenazized that there's like an expectation of how the wedding goes. And, I remember the first, once I was at a Sfardi Talmud's wedding and all his friends danced him and his kala to the yichud room, and then they got to the yichud, they got to the door, to the door in Marina del Rey where the yichud room is, and he said, "We don't do yichud," and he just kept on dancing with his friends because there was no where do you go from there? You don't do anything from there, so they just didn't do. But that's a lot of Sfardim don't want to do yichud because they feel like the kala wants it and she's Ashkenazi and it would be weird for her not to. So someone told me that Rav Vadia Yosef's grandson, he had a great grandson that went to DRS. So that great grandson's parents said that at their wedding, Rav Vadia was very insistent that they not do yichud, but they wanted to do some semblance of yichud. So normally they stick a person in the room so that they could have some quasi alone time. So they got into the yichud room and Rav Vadia sitting there, sitting there learning, and they didn't want to disturb him. So it was a little weird because he's sitting there learning in the yichud room all the time. So can you imagine if you get to the yichud room and you see Rav Vadia sitting there learning? But lichachila, we look for yichud arei labiyah. So lichachila, you shouldn't let someone in the room, in the yichud room, if you don't have to. So the question, or anything in the yichud room that will prevent them from having bia, lichachila, certainly if a woman has the ability to go to the mikvah before the wedding, lichachila, of course she should go to the mikvah before the wedding, right? That's certainly the din lichachila. So the question now becomes, okay, bidyab, for sure they're going to be married, right? But lichachila, should we not allow the dog in the yichud room. So that becomes a question of, is the presence of a dog something that takes away that sense of yichud arei lebiya? So there is a gemara in Maseches Nida daf yud zayin. You may notice around the Beis Medrash there are a lot of gemaras Nida because there are a lot of the kolel is learning Nida in the afternoon. My shir is learning Nida. Rav Simon Smicha shir is learning Nida. Rav Wiederblank is learning Nida. There's one more, I think. Rav Zilberman is learning Nida. There are a lot of Nida shirim going on right now. So, so the Gemara in the in Maseches Nida, Daf Yud Zayin, tells us, "Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, arba advarim Hakadosh Baruch Hu sonan va'ani eni ohavan." It's a funny phrase, no? That there are four things that Hashem hates, and I don't love him either, says Rav Shimon bar Yochai. So, like, once you know Hashem is sonam, like, does it matter that Rav Shimon bar Yochai doesn't love it? Like, there's got to be some meaning to that, right? So one of them is, Hamishamesh mitaso bifnei kol chai. Someone who has tashmish hamita in front of kol chai. So, Amar Le Rav Yehudul Shmuel, Va'afilu lefnei achbarim, even in Washington Heights, right? Meaning you can't be Mishamish Mita even in front of mice. That's a problem. Amar Le Shinna Lo, El Kagon Shel Beis Ploni, Shemisham Shemitoseim Befnei Avdeyam Vishivchoseim. No, they're like, it's, you know, these prosta people that have Tashma Shemita in front of their Avadim and their Shvachos. That's what we mean, in front of human beings. And they darshin that they're allowed to because they're avodim like a chamar, because I'm a dom al chamar, and you're allowed to have in front of a donkey. So that's what all the Rishonim write, and that's what Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Reish Mem. Also, the Shulchan Aruch tells me call Adam im hu neor. If the person is awake, if the person is sleeping, then it's mutter, and it had to be mutter because it used to be that entire families would sleep in one room. People didn't have homes that had, you know, six bedrooms and four and a half bathrooms. You know, like that wasn't a thing. You know, their homes were a room. By definition, there was going to be. So once they're sleeping, it's mutter, but while the person is awake, it's aser. Okay, fine. So the Chachma Sadam writes, Imu binyan shena margishim klal, mutar al yideh hefzik mechitza. Even then, you need a mechitza. You need to put up some sort of mechitza. If it's a person that's not going to notice at all what's going on. The Ravid in Shara Prisha quotes this Gemara, that it's also the Shara mitasim v'fnei kol chai, and he says that aval yashin mutar, but if the person is sleeping, then it's going to be mutar. So what about a baby? What about having a tashmish in front of a child that wouldn't save you from an issue yichud because he doesn't know how to speak, doesn't know how to say anything? So the Ravid writes, "Mistavra detinok she'enu yodea ledaber kebehema dami." That that's like having tashmish in front of a behema if the baby doesn't know how to speak. That's mutter. However, there is a midas chasidus. The Gemara Nida Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph tells us as follows. The Gemara Nida Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph says, Abaye Bali Didvi, he would get rid of all the flies and gnats before having tashmish. Rava Bali Pruchi, Rava would also get rid of all the gnats from the room before having tashmish. And the Rashbitz writes in his Psakim Nida Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, Ubefnei Bali Chaim Afilu Zvuvim, that it's midarkei chasidus to get rid of even the flies and the gnats in the room. Avlein iser bedavar, but there's no iser bedavar. So it's not like it's a slam dunk that it's crazy to say that it's inappropriate to have tashmish in front of a bal chai. It's not inappropriate, but it's a midas chasidus not to. However, the Shulchan Aruch, Chachma Sadam, Mishabura, all the primary poskim do not bring that minhag chasidus, because what are you going to do? You're going to find every fly in your house, every gnat in your house? That's not really a reasonable solution. The Ben Yoyada explains that Gemara that says that these Gedolei Amoraim would get rid of the flies and the gnats. Lo mishum dechoshen l'shamish b'fnei balei chayim, deilu vaday lav b'nei hargoshen inu. That's not really about being shamish b'fnei balei chayim, because those balei chayim don't notice what's going on. Elo osim kein lahachrit es b'nei adam shiu nisharn b'tzniu zu ma'od b'rosam d'rabban kapti afil al zvuvin. They did this to make a statement about how serious we need to be about tzniyus. Meaning it was really more about them than it was about the animals. It wasn't that the animals couldn't notice. It was that there is a mila in tznius, and this was a way of making a statement about the value of that mila of tzniyos. But be that as it may, granted that there's a mitzvah chasidus, and it should be somewhat uncomfortable. A fly in a net is one thing where they're not even margish at all, but it should be somewhat uncomfortable for a person in front of a cat or a dog, some type of animal that you actually have a relationship with, and the animal could figure out what you're doing. It may not be able to go and talk about it, but will be able to figure out what you're doing. That's a total lack of that l'chora would be a total lack of tzniyos. But it doesn't make it that it's a yichushenu rilabia, where it would even lechora be a problem lechachila. It's not a yichushenu rilabia. Meaning the mashal. Let's say the lights are on in the yichud room, right? And the light switch is outside of the yichud room, so they don't have control to be able to shut off the light. Or it's one of these new buildings where there is no light. In my shul now, there's no light switch. You go in the, you know how I turn on the lights in the shul? I have an app on my phone. I could turn them on right now. And I go like that, and the lights turn on in my shul. It's a fun game to play. You know, mess with the people there. Looking around for them. But there's no light switch in the yichud room, right? There's someone that has an app outside of the yichud. There's no, so the halacha is not supposed to be mashamish mitaso in a lit room. So you can say that's called the yichud shenu rilabia, that yichud is only b'di'evet. That's hard to say. You're not going to say such a thing. So the chora, he let the dog in the yichud room, and that wasn't the biggest problem with the wedding. I mean, everything's fine. The couple is married, but, you know, so the chora, it's not a problem, the halacha. Okay, everyone have a great Shabbos.